COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got no way to go. Got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. My plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
Welcome along to another episode of Shirtless Plantain Show. I'm your host, Tosin. I hope everyone is doing well today. This is the Manchester United edition. I am your host alongside Tommy. Tommy, how you doing today?
I'm good.
Good. Happy to hear that. Our team's not good, but we'll get into that.
At all.
We'll get into that. So let's talk about the lineup. Were you surprised? Any surprises in the lineup for you?
I want to say I was surprised to see Ugarte start, but I wasn't. Like, you know, we've all figured out how Amorim feels about Mino. So there's really no surprise there. So honestly, yeah, I wasn't surprised by the lineup, especially with the injuries.
Yeah. So for those who are listening who didn't know the lineup, Bayindir starting goal, as Ruben said in his press week conference. Lenny Yoro, De Ligt, and Shaw as the center backs. Dorgu and Masraoui as your wing backs. Fernandez and Ugarte in the pivot. Amada and Mbeumo as your 10s. And Sesko as your number 9. When I saw this lineup, I already knew what time it was. I just knew United were going to lose. And that was really my first thought was just like, oh, okay. So you picked a team to lose. That's fair enough. And the reason it frustrated me was because City were there for the taking. I don't think this is a good City team at all. I truly believe that if you played at them, because they play Arsenal next, so you're going to see a difference in what happens when you go against a City. Mm-hmm. They were there for the taking. They have 4 center backs playing. Nico Riley's not comfortable playing left back. He's more of a center midfielder playing left back. So, yeah, Krushinov is their center back who's playing right back. So City were there for the taking. I still don't think that midfield was that good. But, you know, when you have a midfield of Ugarte and Bruno, you're open to whatever happened today happened. So, first 16 seconds, that's when I knew, okay, this is it. Haaland got a chance, which he should have tucked away, but he ended up, you know, getting two later on in the game anyway. But 16 seconds in, you see that, you're just like, okay, I already know what type of time we're on today. I already know where this team is trying to do and what's going to happen. And I'm not in. I was like, I am thinking about what's for dinner.
Yeah.
That's literally the first thing I thought about.
Yeah, and bro, from jump, like literally 16 seconds in, I was like, fuck. But I'm going to go back to your point. That City team was absolutely there for the take-in. Tijani Reinders, good player, and like, I'm just not even me disparaging him, but he's not been good. In the Prem, like he had the good debut, but the last two games, he's absolutely there for the taking. You can absolutely take him on. And like you said, that team, Nico Riley, 4 center backs, if we're direct and ran at them, I promise you they were there. Because in the limited situations I saw Sesko, he didn't have too many touches, but I thought Sesko was good. He showed me something. So if we have given him a chance to run at them or put Mbeumo and Ahmad, given a chance to run at the defense and had a competent midfield, like, literally, just switch the lineup, and they were there. They were there for the taking, so it was just, disappointing. Like, just, but I like mean, you said, like, we knew the loss was coming. Like, it wasn't surprised, and then we confirmed it in 16 seconds. It's just, like you said, he settled for a loss. Like, he just accepted the loss.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that frustrates me the most about Ruben, he said, oh, international break, I did a lot of film studying. It's like, clearly you didn't. Because
you didn't.
What we just saw, you didn't do any homework. Like, you literally just came out there with the same thing you've been doing. We said this again. Insanity is the same, doing the same thing over and over again. And for a year now, I tried to give him last year. You know, I wasn't trying to be on his case last year. But it was the game. What was the game we played before international break? Who did we play against? It was against Burnley.
Burnley.
Burnley was my final straw. Fulham, I was just like, I'm fed up. But Burnley, even though we won, I was like, this is not it. I don't want anything to do with this manager anymore. And like, again, I still think he's young enough where he can go to a Serie A and become a really good coach. I think, I know this is going to sound insane, I don't like Kivu at Inter. And I'm going to talk about this on the weekend review.
Yeah.
But I think that if Ruben is smart, leave and go to Inter. I think that Inter wants a three-back system. You can go to a team like that where there's less pressure, but there's still... looking for a young, hungry manager, but that's neither here nor there. Before we get into the game, obviously we talked about Haaland in the 16th minute, but Lemens was on the bench. There was two goalkeepers, one forward, two midfielders, and the rest of defenders. To me, that was cowardice. But
that's always been my problem with him. He's a coward. There are too many times when you had the opportunity to be not even just the team selection. The team selection shit, he did it last year too. And that's one of the reasons why I walked away. You know how I felt about him. Mm-hmm. I washed my hands of him a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And that was part of the reason, because of how scared he is. He's just such a coward. He's not willing to take a risk. He hates Hoyland. He absolutely didn't like Hoyland, right? But the fact that he started him for like 20 games in a row without changing it while Haaland hadn't scored. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? You cannot. I get it. You could have tried something. Xerxes was there. Chidobe was there. And I get it. If you want to, Chidobe's young. He's 17. Xerxes is still there. If you feel like he's not the best, you can. There are different things you can do. But he was just such a coward. He seems to have this, like, it's cowardness mixed with stubbornness. Is this set thing he has in his head? So it's like, this, it has to be this way.
And he has this aggressiveness about him in his own way, where it's just like, I'm right and you're wrong. It's like, no, bro, like, you are wrong. But anyways, we had no pregame expectations. We both thought we were going to lose. That's really what it is. And like we said, first 16 seconds, Haaland had a chance. And we're just like, okay, whatever. The teams were kind of filling each other out. United's press was excellent. I'll give them their things there. But there was two instances in the 10th minute and the 14th minute where Ugarte could have played simple passes, but he doesn't have in his locker room to pass. He's barely good at what he's meant to do on paper. And the fact that a center midfielder cannot pick out a pass, not even like any sort of pass, it's like a maybe 5-10 yard pass. This isn't the 10th or 14th minutes, because I wrote it down, because like, I know when I talk about this, Tommy's not going to know exactly what I'm talking about. It was in the first half towards the right side. We're supposed to pass it towards
Mazraoui. It was him and Ahmad did a little 1-2-1-2, and then Son made a run right down the wing, and he tried to fit in between to Mbeumo, in between two center backs, when the run was right there down the wing. A simple through ball down the wing, it creates a chance. I remember because I saw it, and I was like, come on, dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating when you're watching this and you're just like, this is not the team that I know can play better than this. It's a tactical thing. 15th minute, Amad Diallo tried something really, really stupid in the box when they had that cross.
Just control that.
Yeah, he tried something spectacular and it just wasn't it. Then 16th minute, they got their goal through Phil Foden. Doku shook Luke Shaw and Foden got a header. And look, man, Luke Shaw, love Luke Shaw. He was a great servant to the club, but it's beyond time at this point for Luke Shaw to be finished at Man United. I made a joke on the timeline, and I know it's rude, but he looked like, you know, this weekend we had the Legends play, Rooney and Bastien and all those guys. Luke physically and emotionally and spiritually looks like a United Legend player. Like, he should be playing with Tyler Blackett and all those guys, and yeah, it's not it. It's not it at all.
Also, I don't wanna bash him, but first of all, Luke Shaw was garbage for that. He was simple, whoa, and that man lost his balance, almost caused an earthquake. That was rude. I apologize. But Foden was Bruno's man. Bruno's not a center midfielder. I watched him that whole play. He was ball watching Doku, did not check his shoulder once, and Foden just stopped while Bruno kept moving, went a little bit more central, and then just ghosted him. Mm-hmm. Like, this, see, this you have to platform your players in the right play, in the right positions, guy.
Yeah. It's frustrating, man. And in the 24th minute, Bayern did deny a second chance for City. The commentator said something, because I like watching football games alone because I get to hear the commentary and hear what they're saying and what they're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So the commentator is Lee Dixon, and I forgot, and Graham Lasso. I think it's Lee Dixon and Graham Lasso. So for those who are listening who don't know who Lee Dixon and Graham Lasso is, these are two guys who play for the English national team, play for Arsenal and Chelsea respectively. So These are guys who play at the highest level, okay? So I'm prefacing what I'm saying now so everyone listens to what I'm saying. He was saying that the system leaves the middle open, which is why Euro has to push up. And that's why you get counted on. So I'm telling people, I don't think Ruben is going to change, because when a commentator can see it, when a fan can see it, everyone can see that this is what Ruben wants to do. And I said it, I think I mentioned to you before, Ruben does not like to build up from the middle. What he'd like to do is get wide, get it high, and press from there. And that's not going to work in the Premier League, not in the slightest. Someone else, I saw someone say that Foden's free roll and Doku receiving the pockets was causing the midfield problems. Anything can cause United's midfield problems because
I'm promising.
One, you have a midfielder in Bruno Fernandes who's a 10. That's where he plays best. 8 or 10, that's where he plays best. More further advanced. Then you have Ugarte, who cannot really control the ball, pass the ball, let alone run around. Like, so you have basically two non-effective midfielders. So you're going to get countered and hit on all day. 33rd minute, Šeško was sent through with a good run, but don't
know. Hold on, wait. Just another thing, like you said, that midfield. Do you know how easy it is to, like, from any formation that gets played can control that midfield? Like you said, those two midfielders, right? They're both not as defensive or, you know. All City had to do was just tell Nico O'Reilly and Foden and Bernardo Silva to collapse in. Now it's like a 5-on-2 in the midfield, sometimes 5-on-1. Mm-hmm. When teams play with like a 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, they just tell the striker to drop a little bit deeper into the midfield, and now it's 3-on-2 or 3-on-1. But the way it's just so simple to just figure out and destroy that midfield, and that's a problem. When is that easy? Like, give me a formation. I'll tell you exactly how you can use that formation to exploit that midfield. It's so easy.
I think the thing that frustrates me the most is that it doesn't have to be this way.
It doesn't at all. Like,
he's so married to his system. And he's so married to what he does. And I don't. Again, we'll talk about this. So 33rd minute, Šeško sent through a good run. Donnarumma was able to get out quick and smother the chance. Then halftime happened, but I saw a stat that blew my mind. If I tell you 6 in 31, do you know what I'm talking about?
6 in 31?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the official amount of Premier League games he's managed?
No, he has 6 clean sheets in 31 Premier League matches, Ruben Amorim does.
Fucking hell. That's not real. Fuck.
6 clean sheets in 31 games. It's insane.
So even in draws, you can't even get a 0-0 draw.
Bro. And
Habba.
United has 4 points from 4 games. This is made at his poorest start to a season since 1992-93. It's what? Like, every single thing, there's nothing you're showing us that is going to make us believe in what you're trying to do. That's the most frustrating thing for me. It's just like, even if there's a semblance, like when Klopp started, when Arteta started, we saw the building blocks. Even when Pep started, we saw what they're trying to do.
They had the plan set out, mm-hmm. like the blueprints, they were like, here.
Mm-hmm. So halftime, what were your thoughts at halftime? You have any thoughts, any opinions at halftime?
At halftime, I was already yelling because Ugarte and Shaw were already showing why they were going to be who they were. So I'm like, yo, you have to make changes. You can't wait. You need to go. Like, don't, like, be proactive. Like, come on, go. Make changes. That's literally it. But okay. I'm not going to lie. I also wasn't confident we would score, so.
I knew we weren't going to score at all. We started second half well, though. There was no changes, which we wish we had. Haaland had a lot of defensive headers. They said they had like 5 at the one point. Which is insane. United could not send a cross in. I made a joke to myself. It's just like, man, if United were the ones providing crosses for Jesus, did Jesus still be alive? Because those crosses were not good.
Dogu, I'm normally your biggest defender or your biggest fan. Today, that shit was pitiful. Good God.
Dorgan was bad. Bruno Fernandes' crosses were bad. Awful. Bruno could not get it past the first man. It was just on the corner kicks. So it was just bad.
Yeah, it was just all bad. And they kept going for low-ass crosses. We have a 6'5 basketball player. Put it? Yeah. So I was like, yeah, this is just, ugh.
And then the 51 minute, Erling Haaland got his goal. Doku, who's been playing very well today, held off Lenny Euro, and Haaland did what he did. But again, Delit, Shaw, it was all on them. And in the 60th minute, Mbeumo had a shot on goal. Manu and Maguire came on for Mazraoui and Euro, and Ahmad was the right wing back. Bruno was pushed further up, and then 68th minute, Haaland got a goal. Another midfield mistake. Again, we keep talking about this midfield.
Luke Shaw in the midfield. Like, they were Ugarte and Shaw.
Yeah, it was Ugarte and Shaw. Yeah.
You have to keep them crying, because what the hell? And they're just so avoidable. They're so avoidable. I get tired of talking about the same thing over and over again. It's the same thing.
It feels like Groundhog's Day. It feels like we've had this podcast episode like in the past. I feel like we're going to have it again as long as Ruben's the coach. Because all we keep saying is like, fix your midfield. But he doesn't. He's so married to this one system. And it does not make any sense whatsoever. I'm like, yo, why do you have to play this way? You don't have to play this way.
Why, you don't. You literally do not have to. You choose to. And mind you, let's say, like, you can at least, it's the fact that he hasn't even tried anything else. Mm-hmm. Literally, no variation, sometimes, you know what, okay, me, I hate the three in the back formation, right? But I know there's multiple ways to play it. He hasn't even said, I'll keep the three in the back, I'll just either make it a 3-4-3, or like, I'll change it up more. No, nothing. He's just sized. Oh,
it's the same. Bah. It's the same thing over and over again, and it's the same mistakes. It's the same common mistakes. In the 74th minute, Tijani Reinders missed the chance. I stopped taking notes at one point because truly, this game has been played before. United has done this before. Ruben Amorim has done this before in the last year he's been there. He's almost about to be a year. He's hired in November. We're in September, middle of September, so October, November.
Yeah,
I think he's had enough time to show you what he is. You can blame the players. Like, I understand, like, the players weren't doing their jobs individually. I get it, right? But we have to just relax and understand that this is all down to coaching, right? United are much better than this.
If it's the whole team keeps making the same mistakes, it's coaching. Individual, like one or two, three players makes mistakes on the players. If it's a one-off thing, players. When it's a consistent pattern, I coach. So if I'm watching a game and I have an entire 11 making mistakes, making mistakes and playing bad, I know, damn. It'd be something I'm doing. Maybe I'm making it too complicated. Maybe I'm not playing to their strength, right? That's what's going on. It's not just one or two or three players. No one is looking good.
Coaches have to be proactive. Today, Kukurish, Liverpool's left back, who's not playing well, he got substituted off in the 37th minute. That's what good coaches do. You become proactive. You step up and you're like, okay, I have to shift this play here. I have to shift this play there. I have to shift that. I have to shift this. Mm-hmm. And it is frustrating when you're seeing a coach just keep ramming his head through the wall saying, the one thing that pisses me off the most, he said something along the lines of, once we understand this system, move to another system. Bro, you've been here almost a year. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is what you've done for the last year. And it just gets to a point. Gary Neville said something. Just listen to me. Look at me. Listen to this. Listen to this quote Gary Neville said. He said, I think there will be some pressure applied to the manager and his rigidity of his sticking with the system. With Chelsea next week, another defeat and big questions will start to be asked. If you lose to Chelsea next week, it's over.
There is no questions to be asked. That would be, like, that's damn near Premier League season already, and he hasn't cracked 10 wins. Yeah. And you said only has 6 clean sheets. Mm-hmm. This is beyond asking questions. Questions have been asked now. You cannot lose that Chelsea game at all.
Mm-hmm. You can't. No. And Gary Neville also said, there's been times where I've seen United lose this type of match when I feel angry. I just feel nothing, which is even worse. This has been a nothing performance. And that's where I'm at. This has literally just been a nothing performance for me. It's like you watch this and you're just like, you guys are so much...
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
This is just pathetic.
Yeah.
There's nothing I want to say that's good about this or anything bad. Like, I could sit here and break down tactics for everybody and tell them, like, oh, you know, the left half space was not this, or the right half space was this, and, you know, the deep line play. I can do all of that stuff. But what the most frustrating thing for me is, like, I got nothing. I expected nothing, and I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, holy shit, my expectations were low, and they were still disappointed. Like, it got to a point, like you said, the whole tactic, we joke a lot, but we know this game better than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We can break down individually what's going wrong, the quickest way to fix it, all that stuff. But it's like, after a point, what am I just, I'm just wasting my words. There's nothing. I won't let y'all stress me out. There's nothing. Like, I have nothing to say, nothing to give you. It's just ridiculous. And I guess, like, because I think Yoro was our best player again. Like, that boy's special. But besides that, I can't. It's just expect next thing, the same thing next week.
I'm literally trying to find Ruben quotes, anything that he said post game. And I don't know, man. Like, and even when you watch Kobe come on, you were like, wow. Why are you not playing Kobe Maino?
He did so good. Kobe Maino did. And okay, what this lie? Oh, he legs. He doesn't have legs. I get it. First of all, and also, the biggest thing Kobe needs to improve on as a supporter of his long-range passing, right? Long-range passing and, like, chance creation into being more creative into the final third, right? I feel like when he gets there, he can shoot, but sometimes he lacks that passing. So some people, y'all have taken that and made him seem like he's a defective player. Like he can't start. Like he can't play. No. He's only 20. That stuff will develop as midfielders develop. Jesus.
And this is when coaching comes into play. And this is why I'm going to go on a tangent right now. And just please bear with me, Tomi. And just stare at me the whole entire time. Because I just need you to listen to me. Man United since 2013 have hired managers who are A, stubborn. B, cowards. C, all of the above. D, not ready. E, too old. And F, that don't understand the spirit of this club. Right? When I look at Ruben Amorim, I genuinely feel as a young, talented manager who's been given a lot, who believes in his own Kool-Aid, who did so well at Sporting, which is a different world to Manchester United. I'm not saying the Premier League is the best league in the world. I'm somebody who watches everything. But you cannot come in here thinking you're playing against Boa Vista every week. You're playing against teams who will press you in a... They do not care. Look at the talent at Everton. Everton have Jack Grealish. They have Illiman Ndiaye. They have a lot of talent at Everton. This is a mid-table club. Mm-hmm. Look at Sunderland. They have Granit Xhaka, who's a captain for Switzerland, a team that just got promoted, by the way. And these are levels. And you're coming in here with this stubborn attitude. Every single great coach in the Premier League knew immediately how to adapt. Jurgen Klopp knew how to do it. Wenger knew how to do it. Sir Alex Ferguson knew how to do it. Pep Guardiola got a big rollicking when he first came to the Premier League and realized, oh, I cannot do the things I'm doing in Germany. Yeah. I cannot do the things I'm doing in Spain. You can go down a list of all the great Premier League managers. David Moyes, when he's at West Ham, that's why he's one of the best Premier League managers ever, because he knows how to adapt to the situation he's in. Ruben constantly and consistently is doing the same thing over and over again, which leads into my bigger point. Manchester United have hired too many cowards in the last 12 years. Too many coaches who do not know how to say, hey, you know what? I don't have midfield options in the transfer market. I'm going to go bring me Jimmy Garner from the academy. Like, I'm going to go bring me Jimmy Thwaites. I don't think Xavi was that good at Barcelona. I think what he did at Barcelona was stabilize them. But he also brought through so many talented players. He had the faith in Lamine Yamal. I'm tired of coaches coming to Old Trafford and coming to Man United and looking at Carrington. This is what our lifeblood was made of. We grew up on the Darren Fletchers of the world, the John O'Shea's of the world. We grew up on all these guys.
And Chris Smalling.
Chris Smalling is not part of your academy.
Oh, yeah. He's falling. He's falling.
Wes Brown. Yeah. When they go back in the day. Nicky Butt. And I'm not talking about the elite level of players of Ryan Giggs and Becks. I'm talking about the hard workers who understand Darren Gibson for a point, Tom Cleverley for a point, Danny Welbeck for a point. The list goes on and on and on. Marcus Rashford is a superstar. Scott McTominay was serviceable.
Mm-hmm.
We see what he's doing because he's a technically gifted player. Yeah. But then we look at the midfield that we signed. Ethan Galbraith is better than Manuel Ugarte.
Yes.
Jimmy Garner is better than Ugarte. Andrew Gomez is better than Ugarte. The list can go on of all these midfielders we let go. And my point is, if a United do hire a coach next, do not hire a coward. Do not hire somebody who's going to put two goalkeepers on the bench. Go find somebody who wants to put Jack Fletcher on the bench, who's a talented academy kid, who wants to put Jim Thwaites on the bench, who wants to put Mandanto on the bench.
Yes.
We have the talent in the academy right now. We have the talent in the squad. It's all about finding a manager who isn't a coward, a manager who isn't scared, and a manager who understands that at the end of the day, I am coaching Manchester United. And this is what I was talking about in the group chat the other day. We need owners who can just embrace the fact that we're the Red Devils. Embrace the fact that we are the assholes. Nobody likes Manchester United. Point blank, period. Okay? Lean into it. Let everybody know who we are. This is what we do on a daily basis, right? We are the antagonist. We're the protagonist. We're the main characters. We're on everyone's lips, good or bad. Embrace that. Turn Old Trafford into hell. Make it stressful for anybody to come here. And that is my rant, because I'm just frustrated and watching this. I expected nothing today, and I got nothing.
Yeah. And first of all, you're absolutely correct, especially with the whole academy point. Because James Garner was one I feel like should have definitely made it. He's a very serviceable player for us. And another one, Max Oyedele. Like, I know he hasn't had that much game time for Strasbourg, but you think he can't come on for closing minutes for us? Or in some games where Casemiro isn't up to par, he can come in right there? Like, these are players that we could have kept. And I think this is what people are forgetting. Academies aren't from creating superstars. They come out with some superstars, cool, yes. They're for building and solidifying the squad. You save money. Then you have money to go out there and go big and, like, raise the ceiling. Academy is a floor raiser, okay? Mm-hmm. Once you have players, you know, you can give me a cool 70 minutes. Some games you may need to start, other games you may need to come off the bench. A cool little 150, 200 appearances over a couple of years. Like, that's what the academy is for. And we've created so many of those players that are propping up the English Premier League. United have so many academy players and teams all over the world now. Like, you see a player score, you see, and then fun fact, they were in the United Academy. They went through United. We're out here propping up the rest of the footballing world. We can't prop up our own team. Be brave.
Yeah, I mean, look at the stat. Since match day 12 of the 2024-2025 season, Ruben's first game in charge, no ever-present Premier League team has performed worse than Man United. 31 points in 31 games, a negative 13 goal difference. All the stats about Ruben's reign at United is damning. It says
this guy is not ready. This guy is not it. And we need to move on. I love Ruben as an idea. I know that people are going to make content and say that Ruben should stay. I'm not trying to say any names or the accounts. You know who you are. Some of you will make, you know, I believe Ruben is the players. No.
They're the bastards. You guys are bastards. He's nice. I'm not. You're bastards.
The overwhelming thing, and I've said this, and you know this, the biggest issue Maine that it has right now is the ownership, right? Ineos have tried. They put their own money in. They've made mistakes, big mistakes. It's always going to be the Glazers' issues. But right now, the biggest identifying change Manchester United can make is getting a new manager. And yeah. Speaking of, I think go get Michael Carrick as an interim. Go talk to Andoni Iraola. I think Iraola is really good.
Yeah.
Go talk to Oliver Glasner if you want to stick to a 3-5 system. But whatever it is.
Or homie at Stuttgart. Is it Hohenheim?
Honus,
yeah.
Yeah, Seb Honus.
Like, something's there.
There's managers out there. The biggest thing for me is don't hire a coward. Hire somebody who genuinely cares. Somebody who understands the lore of Manchester United. This is a hard job. And I have another rant, too. I'm sorry. Today's just my day because I don't feel like tweeting the things I want to tweet. I feel like saying it in long form on the camera. Can I have the floor?
Hey, floor, mic is yours.
So there was a Italian journalist who said that Scott McTominay is doing very well, which he is, and said no other club in the world is wasting more talent than Manchester United Football Club, which I understand. I had this conversation earlier this morning with a good friend of mine, and she and I were talking. She's the one who told me about the message, and I said, broke it down to her, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to do this on the podcast today, too. So I'm doing this twice today, and this time I might be a little bit more refined in what I want to say. The problem Man United is also the media's problem, too. Good, bad, or small, any little thing that happens at Man United will be a story. It doesn't happen at any other club. Rasmus Højlund scored his debut. Congratulations to Rasmus Højlund. I'm glad you found somewhere you can play. But the pressure to play at Manchester United week in and week out as a player, as a coach, as a fan, you are the number one target. Does that make sense for anybody? Nobody's going to feel at ease when you're constantly under threat and constantly always feeling like the microscope is on you. No matter how well you do, good or bad, that's the first thing, right? It's like, this is a club where you cannot compare the pressure of this club to any other sporting franchise in the world. I don't care if you're the Patriots back in the day. This is a different kettle of fish to be at Manchester United Football Club. The English media looks for blood everywhere at Manchester United Football Club. Then on top of that, you add to the fact that this club does not have good ownership and good leadership from day one. It's like what Tom Brady said the other day, and I hate doing cross-sport comparisons. Tom Brady was talking about how, you know, people don't know how to actively develop a quarterback because the ownership and the coaches is not good. And it's the same thing with Man United. The ownership is not good. They do not hire good coaches. Therefore, players get wasted. If you hire a good coach, look at Liverpool. No one can gaslight me about what Liverpool were in the Premier League era, okay? I know Gerard Houllier. I know Rafa Benitez. I know what Liverpool were. They got Jurgen Klopp in, who was an amazing coach, and then the ownership married with the great coach, and that's why Liverpool are able to buy Alexander Isak. That's why they're about to buy Hugo Ekitike, because they married good ownership with great coaching. And until Man United can marry good coaching with great ownership, we're going to see so many talented players fall by the wayside. And it's the same thing that happens in USA when it comes to men's soccer. I know so many talented players who die by the wayside, but because of the organization, you're not going to see the best of any of this. I went on too long about what I want to say about the Italian journalists, but the long and short of it, if you take anything from that, is great ownership matters, great culture matters, and United have neither one of those right now. And that's why you see so many players go other places. Antonio Conte is one of the best coaches in the world. That's why Rashford and McTominay is thriving, because they have a great coach. It's not because Napoli and all of that. It's because they have great coaching, and he knew exactly what to get in Italy. He knows that, hey, if I can out-physical everybody, outrun everybody,
I'll be good.
And that's what great coaching does. You look at the bird's eye view, and that's what they do. Ruben is too stuck in his own system. I said too much. I'm sorry, but I was very frustrated. I need to get off my chest. Anything you want to add about this game today?
No. Our women's team won 5-1, though, so go them.
Yes. That young lady that we signed.
Man, that goal. Man, oh man. I think she came through. I think we signed her from City, but she was on loan last year. That's a hooper. She's more like, she's probably like a left winger slash number 10. Mm-hmm. And I feel like because I'm not too tapped in with the women's team, but I am tapped in. And mm-hmm. I felt like we were good in that 10 area, especially. Mm-hmm. But if she's able to play across that front three behind the striker, I think she's going to be so integral. And she's only like 21, 22. God, but that goal, the footwork, and there's nothing better than like barred down goals. And I loved it.
So we got some Ruben Coates, by the way. Sorry to cut you off. He said, we had chances to score the goals to open the game. We need to be more clinical. In the end, it was a small but decisive moment that gave the win to City. Am I being gaslit here?
Yeah, he's lying. He's lying to us. And that's what's going to piss me off. Like, we know what we saw. We know what we saw. You can't say
Then there was more quotes from Ruben. He says, in these kind of games, we need to be perfect. And in this game, we're not perfect. The frustration is always the same because with the amount of chances we need to score goals, we need to work on a lot of things for the next game. If you look at the goals, we can avoid those goals. That was the biggest difference. We can do better, especially the second goal. We suffered goals we can avoid. Robbie Savage said, Manchester United once again, how many defensive players on the pitch? The formation's not working and they're terrible.
Just better his son didn't make it.
I mean, but he's not lying though.
No, he wasn't, but yeah.
Bruno said we need to score goals and not concede. We keep creating chances, but we're not able to score as much as we wanted. We have to be more in control. We concede three goals and we could have avoided. I just, when I read these quotes, I'm like, I understand you gotta give, you know,
for the political answer.
Political answers. But don't lie to me. Like don't lie to me. I know what my eyes saw, okay? I can quantify what I saw, okay? I'm not stupid. I've seen enough.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating because this guy's worse than Erik ten Hag.
Like, it's not even, that's not even a hot take. Like, that's not a hot, that's how bad he's been. He's let.
Imagine back-to-back seasons of the worst starts of Premier League ever. I'm genuinely impressed to see how low can we go before we realize we have to pull the plug.
I don't think he gets fired this year. I really don't. I really don't think he gets fired this year.
That's the scary thing.
I really don't like that guy. I don't. He's a coward and a politician. My friend said he was like if Ruben was a like American, he'd be a Republican. Like, he'd be a Republican senator.
I have a very, very strong hot take. Maynard's problem is also Maynard's answer. On the squad, at least. Bruno Fernandes is a big, big enigma. And I think whenever you say that, United fans always bring up his trophies and the things that he's done and all, like the goals he scores. That's cool, but it's a team sport. And he brings the squad down a lot.
I really think that, like, he's so helpful. Like, he can be so helpful. When he's controlled chaos. He's controlled chaos. It is time to slowly start phasing him out or get his replacement ready.
Mm-hmm.
In my preference, it would have been a Florent Wirtz or something. But I think it is time to slowly start getting his replacement because he's 30.
He's 31.
Yeah.
There's a quote that Eric DaCosta, the GM of the Ravens, usually said. I'm not sure if Eric said it, but I remember him saying something along the lines. He said, when it comes to the Ravens, we love to get rid of a player a year early than a year late.
Year late, yeah.
And that's where I'm at with Bruno Fernandes.
Bruno.
United should have got rid of him last year. I think Bruno is a talented, talented player. I think he is one of the best in the world when it comes to creating. I think when he's in that 10 position, he's incredible. But I also know that I am not going to sit here and lie to myself and say that he is all that right now.
Yeah.
I think that especially when you keep putting him in a pivot, you're getting the worst out of work.
Yes. It won't work. Him in a pivot won't fucking work.
And when I think about United going to a 4-3-3, I'm like, where do you fit him?
It could be the more advanced eight, but even then.
So, and I love Bruno Fernandes. I really do. But I want to have a real conversation with you because I just feel like I cannot sit here and lie to myself about what Bruno brings anymore. He's control chaos for sure. But he's also a net negative on the team, to me at least. Maybe I'm lying. You know, maybe I'm wrong. Whoever's listening, you can tell me in the comments, Tosin, you're lying. But from what I see, his ball retention, his forced passes, his temper tantrums, him throwing his hands, him being demonstrative, the club looking towards him instead of looking as a team, those things is what bothers me with Bruno Fernandes. And again, this feels like a conversation we've had before.
Yeah.
It feels like we've had this conversation last year. We've had this conversation a year before. I feel like we've had this conversation as long as we've been friends. And it's not going to change. But I'm just like, the opportunity to cash out in him this summer to not get 100 mil was dumb. Mm-hmm. You invest that into the squad. But again.
But then, can I even trust Ruben's like eye or the, not even Ruben, because I don't think he has the same transfers. But the Glazers and Ineos, can I really even fully trust them? Because they haven't showed us anything. The Euro deal was good. Mazraoui and Delit. No, I would say my hot take is I think I'm more happy with Delit than Mazraoui right now.
That's fair.
Like, because Mazraoui injuries and then just not been, sometimes he's just been, but it's just Mazraoui's peak higher. But like, yeah, I'm not sure if I can fully trust Ineos with 100 mil. Like, I'm not sure. Not yet. But I feel like if we are, how we should do it is we should definitely get Bruno's replacement in before he goes. Mm. Like, if we just sell him, because I want to see the replacement and see if he can actually take over that role and just buying someone and then finding out on the fly, damn, they can't take that role. They can't take on that role or, like, better or improve that role.
Yeah.
So I think we should get in the replacement first, and that's what we should have done. And we should have shown up the midfield so much.
Yeah.
So much this summer. That should have been priority number one.
We missed a trick on not fixing our midfield. United skipped leg day for sure.
Oh.
Ruben said on his message to the fans, my message is I would do everything. I would give everything. It's not my decision, the rest. I would do my best. I'm suffering more than them.
Fuck off. Him and this suffering kink he has, he needs to stop. Yeah. This man needs to leave his BDSM, out of my club.
Okay. We got one last quote. I'm sorry for sharing so many quotes. I think this quote is going to be the way we wrap this up. I am not going to change my philosophy. I will play my way until the way I want to change is what Ruben Amorim said. Tommy, talk to me.
He's crafting the sword that's going to kill him. He's crafting it in front of us. Like, this is some biblical, like, the Brothers Kosmonauts type storytelling. He's crafting the sword and then handing it to the executioner that's going to take off his head. And c'est la vie.
I have nothing nice to say. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Tosin. This is Tommy. Manchester United plays Chelsea next week. We'll be back. Everyone take it easy. Don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Have an even better start to your rest of your week. We're out. We love you. Take it easy. Peace.
That nigga is really...
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams,
of added caffeine.
So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,